Good afternoon. Welcome, everyone, to episode 17 of Sota Pop. We're glad to be here to talk a little bit about our upcoming venture called I2E2, and that stands for Ignite, Inspire, Educate, and Engage. And today we have the brain children behind this venture, and we have Miss Monica Collier, who's in our office and keeps us all sane. And we have Miss Vanessa Varela Vega, who is her official title is Communications and Events Coordinator, but pretty much she does recruitment, she does retention, she does marketing, she does.
And she does it well.
She does. She does it very well.
And with a smile.
With a smile of grace and dignity, not so much like me.
Not true.
And we also have Mark, and Mark is our producer of Sota Pop and also our lead host, he and Lainey, who is out with us today. But we're going to talk a little bit about our conference coming up and about why you need to attend. That's pretty much it. We want to know why you need to attend and why you should even care.
And you is everyone.
Yes, you is everyone. It is not just if you're an arts person, yes, you want to attend. But if you're a non-arts person, it's even more important that you attend, because there are some questions that probably need to be answered that you can understand. Parents, if you have a child who wants to go into the arts and you're fearful saying, how are they going to pay their bills, how are they going to be able to provide food for themselves or family, etc. And if it's a viable career, you'll be able to understand that and gain some understanding of how the artist's mind and creative processes work. So these are some things that you can gather at I2E2. So I want to do this. I just want to pass around the mic, I guess, and find out what everyone thinks about this and why they're so excited about it.
I feel like you should start by saying why you decided you wanted to have a conference. Because when we started the School of the Arts,
this is really his brain. The
only thing that Dr. Brown wanted was to have a conference.
Okay, so.
But it's not a conference.
we had to give it the conference. Conference, not conference. We had to give it the conference label simply because we needed something that people can relate to. Yeah, we needed some kind of marker. The arts have always been very important to me. When I talk about arts, my main medium was music for so long. And when I started in music, to be honest, it was an outlet for me to be able to express myself. I wasn't a popular kid in high school.
No.
I was pretty much a nerd. I got bullied a lot. I got picked on a lot. I'm not saying all that to be a sob story. I'm just saying I didn't realize I was bullied until I left high school. So I just thought that it was just the way that people interacted with each other and related.
That was the 80s also.
Yeah. Oh, yes. My gray hair is showing now. But so what I did, you know, I did football for a while and I did that. And then when I went into the arts and I played trombone, I was a drum major. I thought to myself, well, this is pretty cool. I got some people, you know, I can hang out with. And then it gave me an opportunity to be able to travel, right, which I thought was really cool. Well, being in the arts and realizing its importance in my life, it gave me an opportunity to be a better person and to be a person I didn't realize I could become. Mm-hmm. So I see a lot of people trapped in that same way. And that be if it be mathematics is your thing, or sound engineering, or technical theater, etc., whatever is your thing, there's always an outlet for you to be your better self and to be a person that you never realized you could be. And we hope with I2E2 is to give you a tool to realize your inner potential, and to take that potential and cultivate it into a product, and a product that's useful, that you can use it to guide your life. So when we talked about doing a conference or whatever, I felt it was important. Let me see, how can I say this? I thought that people talked about the arts, but they talked about it at face value. They always find a way to, I have to defend the arts, mm-hmm. and I always have to do this and do that. And I felt that people spent more time defending the arts than actually being artists and being creative. And with that, I felt that there was no place for a real conversation to happen about things that go on in the arts. Say, for instance, we're going to be real with I2E2, so I'm going to be real right now. I am a black man.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am a black man. And we all state that. And people say, oh, well, I don't see color. It is important to see color.
It is.
It is important to see color because those things make us unique. Yeah. And then we learn about each other. But being a black man in the operatic classical field isn't always a good thing. And the reason why isn't always a good thing, because sometimes you can get pegged as being the person who sings the spirituals and the person who sings Porgy and Bess. And I'm not saying those are bad things. Don't get me wrong. I love both art forms. I think they're important. But their value has been undermined throughout the course of classical music.
Limited.
And I'm just using music as an example here now. Get it? Now, there can be graphic design. There can be fashion merchandise. It can be whatever the art medium may be. But functioning in that world was very difficult because I could never find my niche. And I thought maybe because I was playing, you know, a Caucasian gentleman at that time, that maybe I couldn't sing that role because I was a black man. And that shouldn't be that way. And how do I deal with that complexity in society, and how do I face it head on? How do I realize that that is an issue? And it's okay to talk about it as an issue, and it's okay to discuss it.
So we're going to.
And we're going to find different topics to be able to discuss those things. So why is it important for me, you ask? It is important because there need to be real conversations that are had about diversity and equity and inclusion. And no one should not be able to practice any kind of artistic discipline because they can't afford it, or because of the color of their skin, or they come from a background that usually doesn't support it, or they're not given the opportunity.
Exactly.
And that's worse. If you're not given the opportunity, that's worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that gives some kind of insight in a long way. So, Ms. Borelli Vega, won't you give us something? Why is it important to you?
Well, you know, to be honest, in the beginning, I don't think that I was really sure of what we were doing in the conference and what exactly we were asking for. And as the proposals started trickling in, it started to resonate with me, all of these really interesting proposals. And if you go on our website, we have the schedule up and a little brief summary of all the proposals. But we were finally... Our office is basically very, very involved in getting more diversity within the School of the Arts and equity within the School of the Arts. And and I saw that coming through the proposals. It was the first time we really saw it. You know, we had a proposal come in called the Oreo Cookie Syndrome, which is kind of like code switching, but dealing with the arts. And that was really interesting because that's something that a lot of people of color deal with all the time. And this is coming from an arts perspective. We saw kind of things coming in, like we have a presentation, which I can't remember the complete title. It's about being woke. It's about white middle-aged guy being woke and talking about cultural appropriation.
Dr. Lepke.
Yeah, that is Dr. Lepke, who is our choir director here. And those are really fascinating things because it's things we don't talk about that we see all the time. We don't know how to apply it in the arts. And we might talk about it in the office. And this was finally an opportunity to talk about it with other people and with other artists and educators and why it's important. So when I started seeing the proposals coming in, that's when I got really excited about it, because I've been to lots of conferences. I've been involved in higher education for a little while now. And usually the topics are very kind of dry topics, and they're educational. They definitely are, but it's not something that I was excited or passionate about. But talking about the arts and in this kind of, with this kind of perspective and this kind of filter about making them equitable and making them diverse, that is what really got me excited. And I think it's the important thing in the conference is that a lot of the time we talk about the arts and everyone thinks classical music and classical art, and we just wanted everything.
Yeah.
We said that if you are an artist, if you teach, if you do art, if you want to do art, we want you to join us. And I think that that's really different and it's really cool. And it's such a great opportunity that I don't think a lot of higher ed institutions would be open to having.
At all.
So it's what's exciting to me. It's why I think it's important, is because we're giving everybody this opportunity. Yes, we have exciting speakers and fantastic speakers that are really incredibly smart people. And we're not saying that you have to be a professor or an administrator in order to
or
come.
Or even an artist.
Right.
Yeah.
Not an artist here.
So definitely taking like a new spin on a typical conference, not conference.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's important.
Ms. Collier, you want to talk a little bit about what
I guess
think?
So. For me, a couple of months back, I was talking with Christy Britton, who's the program coordinator at the Kennedy Douglas Center for the Arts. And she and I were talking about I-2E-2, and it is difficult to explain what we wanted, the vision that Dr. Brown had, what we were looking for to fill the day with workshops and presentations and performances. And the more she and I talked, I had an amazing light bulb moment. It was thinking about how did this happen? How did the arts disappear from STEAM? How did the arts take a back seat to math and science and engineering? Understand the importance of those things as far as the advancement of humanity, but the arts is where humanity actually lies. It's the stories that we're telling. It's the everyday life of people expressed through original music, theater, even fashion. I mean, art in general, it's the story of the common person. It's my story. It's your story. It's their story. What are we going to do generations from now when we don't have that documented well enough, because children and young adults are not being encouraged to pursue their creativity, their artistic endeavors, to document the humanity of life? And that was when Christy and I both started talking about how it's a matter of trying to re-socialize and add value back into artistic endeavors. So that's the reason that I am so excited about this conference. We have to talk about the future of the arts, because where we are right now is very exclusive, in my opinion. It is not inclusive. It is not accessible. It is not diverse. We have to figure out a way that young people, young adults, people are socialized from a very early age to understand that pursuing the arts is valuable. It's worthy. It is completely a part of building a well-rounded society. We're going to do that May 17th.
I agree.
We're going to talk.
You guys are geniuses.
You're the genius.
No. I think when I think about I-2E-2 more, and I think about the reason of why we're doing it, I was intentionally nondescript on what
were.
We want. And the reason why is because for every, I think, you know, Spirelli Vega put it very well, every conference I've been to, I've been told what to think. Mm-hmm. I've been told how it needs to be structured, how it needs to go. I want people to use your brains.
Yeah.
I want you to open up creativity, become limitless in thoughts, and then let's see what we come at the end of the day. I want you to leave asking more questions than having more answers, honestly. Because the questions lead to brilliance.
Yeah. A greater good.
And that's what we need. We want to give people light bulbs, moments that they can excel and feel like they're not constricted by everything that comes up in life. So that's what we hope. When I look at some of the topics, I was just, you know, I'm here and looking at the paper right now, and we're talking about some of the different topics that were there. A Woman's World by Jaleesa Escott. It's going to deal with a little bit about women's rights, and not only more women's rights, but how women can be
oppressed.
That's the perfect way to say it. Oppressed in society. When I was thinking on my drive in today, I thought about how many people come from homes of domestic, you know, abuse, and I have to admit, guys, we're a lot of the culprits in this.
I
will admit it, and we have to be better. We have to be better. And the arts can give people a way of communicating that in a non-threatening way.
That is so true, an outlet.
So we need that. One part said, validate your arts program to the administrators who fund it.
Yeah.
Dr. Kirkman, that's a great topic. Mm-hmm. What the beautiful thing about it is Dr. Kirkman is an administrator. He's an educator, but he also comes from an arts background.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a person fighting that battle for a long time, so he can give people some ways to communicate effectively. The other big thing is we want to talk about is communication. Communications from arts people to non-arts people. And where does that breakdown occur? Are we always using excuses of they don't understand?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we need, as artists, I'm talking to us artists out here, we need to realize, define who is they. They don't understand. Are we talking about other artists? Are we talking about non-arts people? Who are you talking about? And with that communication, have you ever come to a point to understand where they're coming from? Where they're coming from. So we need to open up that communication. We have students presenting, Alexa Dishroon and Aaron Kinney, who's also talking about music therapy. Music therapy is a new hot topic that's coming out, and it's a new degree program at a lot of universities.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went and looked at some videos of how music therapy is used to heal people and give them new hope and give them understanding and correct a lot of physical and mental ailments, it's amazing.
It's really dealing with accessibility.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about making things more accessible. That's what music therapy does. It makes things more accessible.
And we surpass disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. We talked about, you know, accessing art resources and mentors for students living in rural areas. I came from a rural area. West Blocton, Alabama does not have a traffic light. My people in West Blocton, I love you because I wouldn't be here without you, without the many things that you've done. But I know how it is to come from a rural area and feel like I don't have these many opportunities to succeed.
Tools.
So you need those things. How does the LGBTQ plus, plus community play a role in the arts? We always, and I'm just going to speak real, we always assume when we think the arts, we tend to think people from a different sexual preference. And that's not true. Everybody's involved in this pot.
And how important.
And how important.
It's like the invisible history that everyone's talking about now, and thank goodness it's something that is being in the forefront of conversations of the LGBTQ plus community has been so important historically, but again, not written about directly. And the arts has to be a huge part of that history for the community.
It does.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's what we're here for. We're having a conversation.
That's my favorite topic of the day, other than Pete Key, because I'm a huge fan of Pete Key.
Pete Key, shout out to Pete Key.
Them being a part of I2E2 is amazing because we are living in a more progressive local community than I've ever seen in my entire life.
An accepting community.
Yes.
And I think that that's one of the things that's a big highlight is that there is representation.
Yes.
I mean, I feel like for the first time we're looking at a conference or something at the university where everybody can see themselves.
Yes.
The one I'm most excited about, there is one called Dismantling Social Boundaries in the Concert Hall. Now, maybe that sounds a little bit too like too educational.
I love it. It sounds like a battle cry.
But what it is it's Latino music in the concert hall, which is something that we don't, you know,
we're
no
not
one talks about.
To the
yeah,
way
we don't know.
Be.
And Dr. Bostic Brown is also doing a performance, and it's called I Too Sing America. Did I say it right? Did I flip
that's
it around?
Right.
It
no.
is.
Exactly
I Too Sing America, and I'm really excited about that because again, you know, with the Shoals Diversity Center doing their presentation about the LGBTQ plus community in the arts, and Dr. Bostic Brown doing different composers and genres, and we nailed the representation yeah. thing. I feel like you can go into a program and you can see yourself yes. no matter who you are, which is pretty amazing.
It
I think
really
that
is.
That
first year too, y'all.
Yes. Yeah. And we will be back every year.
It's a great lineup. Go to our website and look up the full schedule. It really is. Five venues. All day long.
One
plus
day.
Ed Mabry.
And there's food.
There's food.
What's the price of this thing, guys? Can you
Nothing.
Tell me?
It is very reasonable.
It is
because
35.
Access.
Yes, it is $35, which is very reasonable for a conference if you want to attend the whole thing. Now, we haven't really talked about our keynote speaker and performer, who's really incredible. I was fortunate enough to meet Mr. Ed Mabry back in Ohio, where I was living before here, and he is just such an impressive person.
Look him up on YouTube.
Yeah, if you look him up on YouTube, he did a TEDx Dayton talk where he does one of his pieces. He is a poet and a comedian, so not only is he really intelligent and absolutely brilliant, but he's super funny yes. also and down
and
to earth.
Motivational speaker.
Yeah.
It's the perfect mix.
And
of all those types of speaking.
I was introduced to him on that YouTube TEDx Dayton talk. He does something called The Pursuit of Happiness, and it's a story about him meeting somebody at the subway. And I don't want to spoil it, so you should definitely look it up on YouTube, but it's absolutely amazing.
I think the price is, like I said, it's very reasonable. You also get breakfast and dinner in this with the price, which is pretty cool. Lunch is on your own, of course. But Ed Mabry, just having him here is going to be wonderful. I mean, it's really changes the game for this. And I don't know how we're going to top next year because of this.
We'll have to ask him to come back.
We will. That'll be really nice. So I think we're probably gonna wrap up a little bit, but I want to tell you the importance of you attending is that there is so much passion and so much love that has been put into this event. And I know I always try to look from a financial analytical sense, but sometimes we forget that human emotion is a thing of beauty. And it is important to know when someone gives their all into something, and we all have, that they have all followed blindly without maybe always fully understanding, but believing that this could be transformative and that this can bring new light and change conversations and start new conversations in the future. And I think this is going to be something that's quite beneficial for us. You can hear the car horn outside.
They're excited
about I2E2.
Honk if you love I2E2.
So join us May 17th. 2019. We're going to start in Norton Auditorium in the lobby. Registration opens at
7 a.m.
And then
registration and breakfast. So registration and breakfast starts at 7 and we start our sessions at 8:30.
And students, this is important for you. The student leaders, the board that governs our Help for Astros Run SOTA within the School of the Arts are making an offer to you. Your price is $10 to attend for the day. If you are unable to attend, email us here in the School of the Arts office, and we will scholarship you a ticket to come at no charge. And that will equate to free.
That's right.
But you have to send an email to arts@una.edu. Again, that's arts@una.edu. And we can take care of that. Anyone else, if you are questioning purchase tickets and you still want some more information, email us at arts@una.edu. And we can get you some more answers. If you want to call us, it's 256-765-4564. And Ms. Collier or someone in our office can be able to help you.
And I do want to say that if you can't make it for the sessions portion of it, we don't want anybody to miss watching Ed Mabry perform because it's going to be a great performance. So we are kind of doing like a dinner and a show ticket. It's the reception only ticket for $20, which
bucks.
Is less than a night out at the movies.
But you only pay $15 and you get all day.
Right?
All day.
And then you can have dinner and you can come watch Ed Mabry. But,
so many
options. $15 more and you can get all of the breakout sessions too. Yeah.
And we want to thank also Phi Mu Alpha Symphonia Fraternity for all your help in orchestrating this. Our student leaders, also all of our SOTA staff and student staff, they've been wonderful in putting this together. And thank you all, and we hope that we see you May 17th, 2019, Norton Auditorium for our kickoff. And
that's thank you. All.
Signing off.
One thing I do want to say before we sign off, though, this is our very last episode of our first season of SOTA Pop. So I just want to say...
Congratulations, Mark.
Yeah, Mark did an awesome job.
He really did.
He's a hero.
I do want to say from me, and I can assume Lainey would like to say the same, that we want to thank you guys for listening. Our, you know, our viewers, our listeners have grown since we started from the very first, and we want to thank you all for listening, and also we want to thank everybody who came to be on our podcast as well. Thanks for helping us kick it off, and we hope to bring you more amazing content next school year as well. So
we're already planning the fall.
We are.
Same two rock stars are going to be back.
That's so true.
Make sure you guys stay tuned on our social media. We will keep posting on social media. But thank you guys for listening so much. And we'll see you in August.
This podcast has been brought to you by UNA School of the Arts. Produced by Mark Gallegos and Lainey Green. Hosted by Dr. Terrence Brown. Special thanks to Monica Collier and the SOTA staff.